Lord, make us one. Help us to worship and serve you as one, leading us by your Holy Spirit into all truth, doing the work you have given us to do together. May the world believe that you have sent us, seeing that you have loved us in a way that makes us, even us, one in your name. Amen. So today, we are celebrating the ministry of the Episcopal Church women and collecting the United Thank Offering. This supports all the missions and projects of the Episcopal Church women throughout the church. And there will be their envelopes, I hope, in your seats today. But in the liturgical calendar, we are at the seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after the Ascension Day. And we celebrate our oneness and connectedness in Jesus as he ascends into heaven. So do these things all relate? Of course they do. They are as related as we people all are, interconnected lives woven together in God. And these connections are amazing, from God and Jesus to all of us in the past, present, and future. Since the Ascension is all about rising up, I want to tell you a story about an airplane. There's a little bit of a personal connection. Betsy Boss is Dixon's assistant on the staff, and her dad, Al Reiners, is a retired Episcopal priest. Many years ago, Al moved his young family to Alaska and served a parish there under Bishop William Gordon, Jr. The diocese in Alaska is very spread out, and the bishop had to travel to very remote locations to serve the people. So he took up flying so he could travel the distance, getting supplies and food and sacraments and pastoral care to the people. He became known as the Flying Bishop of Alaska. And this is a cool thing. A grant from the United Thank Offering of the Episcopal Church Women in 1953 bought his plane for him. It was a Piper PA-20, for those of you who know planes. And Betsy's dad actually rode in the plane several times with the bishop when he was serving in Alaska too. But I love this part as well. Guess what the plane was named? The Flying Blue Box. And there's a stained glass window at Virginia Theological Seminary that has the Flying Blue Box airplane. Now, where this comes from is, I know many of you remember the blue boxes that we had to collect the UTO offerings. You put them on your dresser or your table, and you put coins in daily as you remembered your gratitude for God's many blessings. I couldn't find my original box. I know I have it somewhere, but I have a replica in ceramic of it. And then the envelopes came, and they were blue with white lettering, and now today we have these white envelopes with blue lettering. So that's what this blue box is all about. And I do invite you to be generous today, because as of 2015, the United Thank Offering has collected nearly $132 million and has funded over 5,000 missions and projects. And St. Paul's is consistently among the larger contributors in our diocese. And that supports our diocesan goal of being a missionary diocese. That is a lot of coins in blue boxes and envelopes, and a lot of gratitude for many blessings. And this ministry of the Episcopal Church women spans the century all the way from 1871, when the Board of Missions of the Church was authorized to organize a women's society. And organize one they did. This was a time in the Episcopal Church when women could not serve in leadership positions. But that didn't mean they weren't active. In fact, just the opposite. There were four very enthusiastic Emory sisters who played a major role in forwarding the cause of women's leadership in the church, and they did it by focusing on the church's mission. So from the beginning, they were taking up collections, and the women's auxiliary had this amazing ability to support and fund the missions of the church, and that continues to this day. And each and every woman who is in the Episcopal Church is actually a member of the Episcopal Church Women, no matter what your role in church is today. One Emory sister in particular stands out, Julia. She was the secretary of the Women's Auxiliary to the Board of Missions for 40 years, and she began this when she was 24 years old. And she was amazing. She visited every diocese in the United States and wrote every rector asking for support for funding for the mission work. And under her leadership, the Women's Auxiliary became the driving force behind the mission work of the entire church. And it grew into this huge network that emphasized education and addressed social issues and eventually created what we have today, the United Thank Offering. And in preparation for their triennial meetings, collection boxes were always sent out. And later, the Women's Auxiliary became known as the Episcopal Church Women. And the rest, as they say, is history. And Jesus prayed for his disciples, that they all may be one, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that God has sent him and has loved them. Today's Gospel from John is a conclusion to what's called the High Priestly Prayer. It's a long prayer in the chapter 17 of John, and Jesus prays first for himself, and then for his disciples, and then in today's section, for all of us in the church universal. Jesus wants all of us to be one, to be in unity with one another, and invites us into his prayer. Just as the disciples were witnesses of the love of God at Jesus' time, we are witnesses today, and we follow his examples of being hearts and hands in the world, so that this love bears fruit in the work of the church, but not only in the work of the church, for the healing and reconciliation throughout all creation. I believe that Jesus, in inviting us to be in unity, was not requiring us to be in uniformity, because they're not the same. We are not all the same, and we all bring different gifts with us to our faith communities and to the world. Unity is about the freedom we have in our relationship with Christ and the church as we do ministry. And I think sometimes uniformity is about the need to control our relationship with Christ or to make us believe all the same things, because there are so many barriers and divisions that the unifying message and person of Jesus can get lost. So Jesus continues to pray for all of us disciples, past, present, and future, and that we would be as one. It's sort of like when two people get married. They are individuals, and they bring different gifts to the relationship. They are to become as one, but they don't morph into some superhuman entity with no distinguishing characteristics. Becoming as one means you are in it together. You will hang on to each other, sometimes for dear life, presenting a unified but not uniform front to the world that's based on love. This is the kind of one that Jesus is talking about. Our different groups and traditions and backgrounds and visions are not meant to divide us, but to band us together in love so that we can carry out Jesus' mission in the world. He gathered his 12 disciples together, and remember how different they all were. And Jesus invited them to follow him, to come and see what he was up to in the world, to form them into disciples with a common mission and a new culture in the kingdom of God. He had kind of a motley crew of guys back then, and we're a kind of motley crew of people today, but we're all unique in our way, in our own way, and we are God's own people, and Jesus calls us all together within the church and beyond it. The Episcopal Church women banded together in unity. They all had many gifts, but their leadership as women was not recognized at the time in the same way as men's. Very determined women decided they could spread the gospel in different ways, and they did that and continue to do so. They knew they couldn't serve the church in the same way as men did at the time, but they got together and furthered the mission of the church. And it's this kind of unity that transcends time and generations and all of our divisions. And I love this quote from their Spirit of Missions publication for 1872. "We long to have each one feel she individually has something to do for Christ and for the coming of his kingdom, not alone or as a member of a single parish, but one of that great company wherein their own special station wait and watch and labor for their Lord. We wish all to draw closer to each other, to labor more unitedly, to give more nobly, pray more fervently, and follow Christ's example." But the women did not do this alone, nor do any of us, because in all of our diversity, God knows we need help. And so Jesus prays for us and is right there with us, knowing that unity is a gift from God that only God can make happen. When we gather together to worship God as we are doing today, when we gather together to offer our gifts for the work of Jesus in the world, when we gather together to be fed by the body and blood of Jesus, this is already a powerful act of unity that can connect us with God and with each other and with the world. And as we will pray in a few minutes, when we are at God's holy table, sanctify us also so that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. We pray for this kind of unity as the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father, for oneness in the communion of the Holy Spirit. As we listen in on Jesus' prayer for us today, we are invited to get together with one another. We are invited into acts of unity and love in all aspects of our lives. And we're invited to notice the connections between one another and to celebrate one another's gifts. How will we serve in unity, constancy, and peace this next week and beyond? How will we make the love of God known? How will we work toward becoming the church for which Jesus prays? How will we reflect the glory of God? The good news is that Jesus is praying for us and wants us, his followers, to be with him, motley crew that we are. And so we are grateful. We are grateful for the ministry of the Episcopal Church Women and the United Thank Offering, and we are grateful for all who work for the good of the world. Grateful for the gifts that God gives each one of us. Grateful for the times when we show that we are united in Jesus. Grateful for the gift of the church and the time when it's at its best. But most of all, we are grateful for the gifts of God's love for us that helps us remain as one in a world that so desperately needs it. May we, like the risen and ascended Jesus, rise to new life, receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit who unites us and leads us into all truth. Amen.